Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Every single one of you is a blessed presence to all of us. Thank you for being here. So we come together to enter in a circle of great intention, to take our place and to engage in a conscious exchange, listening deeply to feed and be fed by the impressions given. May our work be food for lifting the consciousness of the world and ourselves. We begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity, eternally whole and one, yet manifested as the many. Amen. So tonight, continuing in a season of remembrance, we look to the life of Catherine Nicholl, the wife of Maurice Nicholl, who died just 3.5 months after he did on December 13th, 1953. Dr. Nicholl is noted by many as humanizing the fourth way teaching of Gurdjieff and Ouspensky. Beside the man the whole time of his work was the woman, Catherine, little known outside of a small circle of people. And yet it is said that she was a person of great being. A feature notable to both Catherine and Dr. Nicholl is the equanimity which they expressed and in which they sacrificed a security which was very rare, particularly for couples who have children. And they did so in order to fulfill the demands of their destiny. So if you remember the historical backdrop of their lives, it truly was a time of great risk and insecurity in and around London during World War II. Perhaps all that needs to be said about Catherine is that she and Dr. Nicholl shared a common aim, the search for eternal life in this life. Their lives were lived under the authority of this aim. Dr. Nicholl once said, "A real marriage is when two people are working. It can be an essence. When he is asleep, she must be awake. When she is asleep, he must be awake." May it be so for us to work in essence, to fulfill the demands of our destiny and be willing to pay the price for doing so, to know that we are a part of a new circle of humanity. So, Mark, you may wish to use the spotlight function as we step into the next period of our time. Now is the time of preparation to receive new influences. A rare privilege. How many people are there who would be interested in these ideas? Will I pay my part? Will I work for the future? Will I clothe myself with these ideas and let them, allow them to envelop me softly, quietly? We place ourselves here and now with intention and immanent trust, taking perhaps all the heaviness of life and lifting it in hope and love in the midst of our own vulnerability and helplessness. So preparing ourselves with back upright, stilled and contained. We scan our bodies, perhaps noticing and then letting go of any points of tension and constriction. We breathe in deeply every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything. Everything that passed through us this day, our world today. Everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than, everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy and hope. All affirming, all denying. And we hold it as offering, reconciled as for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as light, as radiant, as beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. We now enter into our time of Lectio Divina, and we will share a reading from today's email. It will be read three times. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some the work for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind. Rather, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into the one who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper function of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. Can we interpret the resurrection narratives of the Gospels in light of this paradigm? Our hearts on fire and energized into a new union with God and with one another, our hearts burning within us, a new energy of whole making and new patterns of relationship, where God is no longer outside, but is an expanding, transcending, self-giving love within and among our bodies. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some the work for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind, rather living the truth in love, we should grow in every way until the one who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joins and held together by every supporting ligament with the proper function of each, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. Can we interpret the resurrection narratives of the Gospels in light of this paradigm? Our hearts on fire, and energized into a new union with God and with one another. Our hearts burning within us, a new energy of whole making and new patterns of relationship, where God is no longer outside, but is an expanding, transcending, self-giving love within and among our bodies. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some the work for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind. Rather, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way until the one who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. Can we interpret the resurrection narratives of the Gospels in light of this paradigm? Our hearts on fire, energized into a new union with God and with one another. Our hearts burning within us, a new energy of whole making and new patterns of relationship, where God is no longer outside, but is an expanding, transcending, self-giving love within and among our bodies. And so it is. So I invite you, as you are moved to do so, to share with us what you receive from this passage, or perhaps the image, the thoughts of your heart. Ah, it looks like it's Ken Ely. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I had to speak about that image. When I first saw that many years ago in the back of Rodney Collins' book, I don't know if captivated is the right word, but it just captured my attention so much that I carried that image with me everywhere for years. I had it in, you know, my notebook, and just really wanted to understand that more deeply. And somewhere along the line, it stopped staying with me physically, but this year that image has come back very recently, actually. So I'll just share a couple things that I saw tonight. One is the absolute cascading down the ray through our solar system and the galaxies into our solar system, all the way down into the chest of the man, and connecting with the words in that passage that you read of, you know, the one that ascended also descended. And that this is the absolute descending all the way down to us. The other thing that I've just been wondering about is, And that planet, or that picture, I love the way it lines up all the planets with, these kind of energy centers within our body. And I wonder about what it means to ascend to the level of the planets and just the times of the orbits of all these different planets. When you look at it, it's very interesting as to how they place with these parts of our body.
Yes.
And what does that mean that some of those parts of our body move a lot faster, they move a lot faster and orbit faster around the sun. So anyway, those are my reflections. I love that image, and I was grateful to see it today.
Well, thank you, Ken. Maybe you can come back again at some point and give us a fuller explanation of that image. Thank you. Jackie, good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is a familiar image for me as well, going back many years in the school. And it reminds me of something, and I probably have talked about this before, that my teacher, Tim Cook, told me one night on a Friday night when I stood up and something had happened to me that week that I was relating that I'd been identified with. And he reminded me that you have to go down 6 inches in order to go up 6 inches. And I've carried that with me ever since then. This was many years ago. And it is one of the reasons I'm sure that I still walk in the mornings under the stars before dawn to feel what my place is in scale. And that image for me is where I am in scale, universally where man is, but where I am in scale. And it always, for me, is a centering force and a self-remembering opportunity to begin my day. And I too have to descend and then ascend in that order as Christ does, or as Bernadette so sweetly told us years ago, so as it goes for Christ, so it goes for us.
Yeah.
So thank you for this beautiful reminiscent of that lesson in my life and a reminder of how important this work is and how it stays with us. And the importance of scale.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Jackie, for that reflection and remembrance. Thank you. Jim, please.
Yes, I responded to the reading, today's reading.
Yes.
Through the question that was posed last week, what beckons me to the work? And I think I read in this passage, or hear in this passage, feel in this passage, that it is beckoning me to a holier life. A life of mercy and love and grace that is in union with Christ and that is in union with other people and that is in union with all of the cosmos, and that this, I think, will free me, as I understand, Gershoff, which I frequently don't, but as I understand Gershoff, that will free me from the expectations and demands of a world that sees everything through the eyes of the flesh and the eyes of the ego and eyes that do not lift me up, but actually bring me down. So that I'm hoping, I guess, that it, as it, I will have not only, I will find, or that the higher influences will give me the life, the whole, a holier life, and that that life will help lift up the consciousness of the world that we live in to a higher level, and so that we can move forward as a species instead of seemingly going down. So that's my, that's my, that's what draws me to the work.
Thank you so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
And so it begins with ears to hear, and it seems you have that. Thank you. And Virginia, we'll close this part of our evening with you.
Well, I've been working this week, something Peter has mentioned about all the impressions coming in on a very high level, all the words, new vocabulary. And I must have made a wish to simplify, to have understanding, but very simple. Also, in this week, along with the one in the email, I was looking at photos of all the planets, and I noticed that the Earth is the most coherent. It's beautiful, artistically beautiful, and the atmosphere and clouds. And I had the thought, what if the Earth is the womb of the universe? What if Gaia is the birthplace for the universe? Well, what does that mean? What kind of universe? And then it came to me that we use these terms all the time. The older ones is there's going to be a new Jerusalem, or a new age. We can skip over that. But there'll be a new earth, a new universe. And recently we've been talking about the new axial age, the third axial age. So that's what is being birthed. And the question was how, and it's right there, it's us consistently in the work. It's to pull humanity forward, to move humanity forward for future generations. There is something about this little screen that we're doing tonight for future generations, just like Catherine Nicholl understood. So what if the Earth is the womb of the universe?
I wonder. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you, thank you. Well, over these past weeks, we've moved as a community through very big ideas, and in the ensuing weeks, they will continue. But tonight, looking over our time, we have passed through the topic of theosis, the conscious circle of humanity. Now we're entering the body of Christ. We've had the experience of Ilia Delio. So it is my joy to welcome Peter, who will bridge these ideas and facilitate our sharing time as to what we have received these weeks. And then he will introduce a beloved member of our community, Guy Yeadon, who will give our presentation this evening. So welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Marianne, and good evening, everyone. It's good to see each of you on the screen. We have had an extraordinary couple of weeks, and so we did not have homework sharing last week, given the Ilia Delio as our guest speaker. So for our sharing tonight, the invitation is open for you to share what you received and what you were working with in terms of the homework or the ideas back 2 weeks ago to the theosis conversation, integrating theosis with the work. And then also anything that you wish to share in terms of what spoke to you last week from Ilia's teaching, and the Conscious Circle of Humanity. So fairly open-ended invitation for you to share and bless the community with your work and what you're learning from and integrating these ideas with. So who would like to begin our sharing tonight? We have just about 15 minutes opportunity to share before Guy's presentation. Don, please.
It's actually Deborah.
Oh, Deborah, sorry.
What from the homework last week, it mentioned the Bodhisattva bandwidth, and that has really settled with me. And tonight during the Lectio, when it said, our hearts on fire, energized into a new union with God and with one another, our hearts burning within us, that felt to me like a further illumination of what the Bodhisattva bandwidth feels like. And since that's been something that has, I guess, been what spoke to me, having this further illumination is very, very welcomed.
Thank you, Deborah. And that imaginal realm that she spoke of, and that Bodhisattva bandwidth obviously is, where would you find that in terms of work language? Any ways you can connect that concept beyond the Conscious Circle of Humanity?
Yeah, I think it's self-remembering, true self-remembering of the real self in those moments when we know ourselves as God and remember ourselves, the basic core of goodness within us that is God.
Thank you, Deborah. Liam, please. You'll need to unmute yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to pick up a little where Deborah left off, because I also heard our hearts are on fire. And tonight, for the first time, I'd heard it over and over again, but it really sat with me, was I yield to the human life. And so a few days ago, I did wake up and go to see the moon and the eclipse of the moon. And it was so beautiful, and it did take me to a place, Deborah, of self-remembering and recognizing how, where we are in the universe and how small we are. And yet this is where, this human life is where we are, and this is where we start and where we continue day in and day out, yielding to our human life. And I also have felt the call of the Conscious Circle of Humanity in the death of a beloved who I am certain is part of the Conscious Circle of Humanity and was here in this life as well. And so that beckoning is very strong, not just because I know someone who is there and I really feel their presence, but also because I can wake up every morning and look out and see that this is a beautiful place that we live, and that all we have to do is remember that day in and day out. And it calls us to other places of beauty. And I think then I started seeing today and yesterday that the ray of creation and that ascension up to the absolute, and where we are, or where I am at least, and where I know others are before me. And I could see that pull, that draw to the absolute. I really could feel it. And so that's where I hope to continue seeing and feeling it.
Amen. Oh, this is heartening to hear. Thank you, Liam, for articulating that experience. It's such a nuanced experience, and you articulated very clearly. So thank you. And it helped me remember and feel into what those events you described, and how beautiful to feel that connection with the someone who died. What a gift that is. How much that instructs us on our own journey and keeps us grounded at the same time as inspired what's possible after we die. Thank you, Leanne. And was there an eclipse of the moon this week? I missed that. Thank you. The full moon was beautiful, stunning. Don or Deborah again.
Yes, I'm having the experience right now, actually, of this reading today and last week and the week before, and everyone's sharing, because it's the Tetragrammaton that I hear just being described, the heart on fire. And it's interesting that the entire weekend was that Tetragrammaton was on the piece of paper, and it was on the screen, and talked about Jacob Baim, boom. And so I was sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, you know, how do I describe the Tetragrammaton? What is a Tetragrammaton? People have never seen it or heard what it is. And all of a sudden I was thinking, Deborah described it, and Leanne described it beautifully. And it's not just somebody who else has died, but also it's all of us and our own mortality. And that admonition from Gurdjieff to tell us to never forget for every day, to remember we're all gonna die. Each one of us to remember our own death. As we start practicing together this diminishment, that picture of the Tetragrammaton with that heart that seems to be upside down on fire never goes away. And so I realize now another way of remembering my death and those who've gone before me is that heart continues to just burn. It never stops burning because love never fails, right? And so that's what this tonight's reading, this community of Christ that all is coming together, the ligaments are pulling us all together, creating this body together. And this Tetragrammaton everyone described tonight is so beautifully a part of the life and this what comes next as well.
Thank you, Don. Exactly. Thank you. Beautifully said. Let's go to Jill or Jeff, please.
It's Jill. And I just wanted to share an experience I had that felt like all that we've been studying coming together. And I've had a series of these, and they're brief, but leading centering prayer this weekend, I spoke of going into the inner room and closing the door right before ringing the bell. And I realized that I just finished facilitating intro to centering prayer. So this inner room has been really activated. And I rarely think of closing the door. And it just came like the opening the door is the consent. It's the moving deeper and deeper, just like the image we were showing within as well. And then closing the door put me in this, it's more looking back on it because it was more just an experience of presence, but it was like a light-filled tube of nothingness. And there for a brief moment was no distraction because I was just in that space of light. And today I heard a friend speak about a near-death experience, and that was her experience, was the light. And that's what you hear over and over again, is stepping into the light. And the I guess Don just said something about death, and I realized that that's why we hear that each time we go to the mat in centering prayer, it is a small death, because we are closing that door on us thinking we're doing. And I realized, I think that's why I leave the door open, because it feels like I need to be a part of this. And that's the one time when I'm simply consenting and surrendering and letting it all go to enter into that space of oneness. So anyway, it's just felt like all of the weeks combined into this experience, and all the heady stuff we heard this weekend, I took it more as verification of the inner experience rather than the other way around of trying to figure out that stuff. That all that we're doing of integrating this in our practices is the real deal, and gives us the opportunity to learn it from the inside out.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for that. That's a good witness, because that's the truth. And thank you for sharing that, the integration that happens in the silence underneath the mind. Before we'll go to Steve Utz, I just want to do something I normally wouldn't do, and that's maybe give Jim McCune a heads up. Since Jim, you shared a few things in church a couple weeks ago on our community sharing about the different takes on theosis. I'm curious how your journey has been with that, if you wouldn't mind sharing. But we'll go to Steve Utz first.
Am I unmuted?
You're on.
Medically unmuted? Okay. Well, what I'm struck with is this theme of this involutionary thrust that reaches all the way down. It goes all the way down. It descends all the way down. And it takes us at our lowest point and then grabs hold. And then that concentration of focus that was in that diagram, it's like this pulp or priming that just pumps its way back up. And it's how much effort we apply, but divine grace helps us along. And as we go higher, we see more broadly, and we can bring more things in, and then we understand our centers, and we know how to play them better and use them, play the notes at the right time. And that's that kind of getting into that level of divine energy that just is free. It's just free. You can snuff out all those little wrinkles that occur in all your subsidiary eyes that want to kind of speak out. But the main thing is this current upward you try to apply yourself to. So that's.
May it be so. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Camille, please. Camille Bunting.
Well, thank you. I just basically want to express my immense gratitude for what we are dealing with, the information and the experiences that we're dealing with, because ever since I was in my 20s, I have wondered about the first couple of verses of the 12th chapter of Romans, where it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And all of this is renewing my mind. And I think I've never experienced a church that ever talked about that. And I'm just very thankful for it. So thank you to everyone.
Well, thank you, Camille, for putting it that way. And that's a beautiful reminder, that Romans chapter 12 passage. And isn't it true? I think all of us probably that are sitting here on a Thursday night at some level have experienced the same thing that Camille's talking about. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So the work gives me the how so often, how to be transformed versus just praying about it, which is wonderful too. Thank you, Camille, and I'm delighted you're here. Jim McCune, just want to give you a chance if you're here. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but just go ahead and raise your hand if you want to share anything of your experience. If not, that's okay. Anyone else wish to share tonight before we move on to our presentation? Anyone wish to report that they've reached the state of theosis? I'm so glad to see no. Well, we are, okay, one last hand here. It looks like it's Bonnie Smith. If you can be brief, that will conclude our sharing with you, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't going to share, but I'm going to now because it just hit that way. I'll make it really brief. I had a very strong experience in which I felt inner presence. I had just felt that unity. I'd been doing the reading, but I was laying there and my dog was kind of crying and I was semi-awake and I put my hand on him and I felt his heartbeat, and somehow through the time that I did that, I started my mind and my body and everything in me started to expand to feel the heartbeat, to be the heart of God, of Jesus, of everything around me. And it was the heartbeat of creation was encompassing me. And it was the most peaceful, wonderful feeling that I can even remember. But the unity of everything together. And I have no idea how that happened, but it started with a little whine, a cry from a little puppy that brought everything together, the unity of life and how the body of Christ did everything together. So it was my experience.
Thank you, Bonnie, and what a joyful connection and revelation through the dog's heart's beat. Thank you. It's a beautiful example of that unitive revelation. Well, with that, we'll conclude our time of sharing and the homework, and thank you for everyone, for those who have shared. Thank you for everyone who for all your effort and work in reading the emails and talking about them in your journey groups and with your journey work partners. It does bind our community together in a very meaningful way, week by week. Well, with that, I'm going to switch seats and invite our friend and church friend and colleague in the ministry here in Austin, Guy Yeadon, to be our presenter tonight. That Guy comes to us as a long term member of our church community here, and has been involved significantly in the recovery work as a therapist, working with people, especially men, coming into the acknowledgement of their own addictions and ministering to them and serving them as they are transformed through that recognition and move out into health and wholeness. So I find Guy to be an articulator of the work in a very practical way, and I'm really glad he said yes to Mary Ann's invitation tonight. One second as we change from the co-pilot to the pilot seats.
Thank you, Peter. That was very kind. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yeah, sure.
Good evening, everybody.
my heart is filled with joy to be here this evening. It's a delight. And what I'd like to do with that in mind is for us to just close our eyes and slow our breathing down a smidge. And I would like to say thank you to all of you, the body of Christ that is the Church of Conscious Harmony, and all the brilliant people and things and teachings and books and lessons and sermons and retreats that bless us. And I'd like to read something by St. Athanasius, and he's talking about St. Anthony the Great. So he must have done a few good things in his life to get the great at the end. And this is a beautiful passage, because this is the Church of Conscious Harmony, as far as I'm concerned. St. Anthony the Great, who subjected himself in all sincerity to the pious men who he visited, and made it his endeavor to learn for his own benefit just how each was superior to him in zeal and ascetic practice. He observed the graciousness of one, the earnestness at prayer of another, studied the even temper of one and the kind-heartedness of another, fixed his attention on the vigils kept by one and on the studies pursued by another, admired one for his patient endurance, another for his fasting and sleeping on the ground. Watch closely this man's meekness and the forbearance shown by another, and in one and all alike, he marked a special devotion to Christ and the love they had for one another. Having thus taken his fill, he would return to his own place of asceticism. Then he assimilated in himself what he had obtained from each, and devoted all his energies to realizing in himself the virtues of all. So thank you all for that. So the body of Christ, it's a bit of a daunting topic, really. I just decided to keep it very simple. The first section will maybe be a little bit more intellectual. And then the second half of this, I'm going to try and make it a little bit more experiential, that to try and get all of us to feel the body of Christ within ourselves. So we'll start with this, actually. So let me see. Can you see this okay? Most of us are very familiar with the logo of the Church of Conscious Harmony. And I was going to talk about that as representing the body of Christ. But shockingly enough, this morning, when I read the Ilya Dilio part of the email, it's exactly what she was talking about, as it being a moving, vibrating, resurrected energetic force, that is what we are and have forgotten. You know, the fall in Genesis to me is forgetting that. And that's one of the great things about the church, is that's what we're trying to do, is move from that fragmented nature back to a different identity of what we are. So I think the logo is intended to look like it's moving, that Father, Son, and Spirit are all interacting in one, and that is what we are. The work would call it real I. Maybe today we'll call it the body of Christ. But I think that Ilya talked about that's the new paradigm for resurrecting our identity. So I would encourage everyone to reread that email. I probably should have. But it also reminds me of David Hawkins' work, that if I can get some sense of real I, or my part in the body of Christ, I have raised my vibration. When I'm sort of shattered and fractioned and in shame, I vibrate at 20 on David Hawkins' scale, which is the closest thing to death. Peace is 500, I think. Love is 550, and joy is 600. And certainly that's the intention of feeling that presence, is to raise our vibration. And I will talk about that in a little bit. But I want to read something. I've read it before, but I think it's a great description. So Ilya's version of the CCH logo today, boom, right here, right now. But we're going to go back 5,000 years and see what the Kabbalah says about the church logo. A rock is hewn from a mountain. It has the same nature as the mountain. But when it is disconnected, it is no longer called mountain, it is called rock. Not one atom of its essence has changed, yet pulling it from the mountain has made it something else. Put the rock back into the mountain, and it is no longer a rock. So the rock's existence is determined not by its substance, but by its relation to the mountain, that is its source. Kabbalah teaches that just as rocks are hewn from mountains, humans emerge from God. At the level of the soul, humans have exactly the same essence as God. In essence, humans are like God. So how do we become rocks? And this comes from a book called Becoming Like God by Michael Berg. It's a really superb book. So how did we become rocks? Well, according to the work, when I'm identified, I'm pretty sure I'm a rock. Trauma creates a rock. Our culture, all of these things. And I was thinking about this the other day. I spent so much time thinking I'm a rock that I had no concept of mountain. And I'm so happy for all the teachings that help us raise our vibration, that that's my evolution as a self-developing organism. My magnetic center, our magnetic center as the body of Christ, is almost like Humpty Dumpty, taking all those rocks and magnetizing them back into that body of Christ, all of us. And that's what I think the opportunity is. And the goal. So maybe we can change it, the book, from Becoming Like God to, this is going to be really corny, Becoming Like Mug. This is what I'm supposed to be. Okay. I also want to read something else to you, and it's in reference to trauma. From a woman that the book was on the book list, Judith Blackstone. And I've read it before. I read it in the sermon I gave, but I'm going to reread it using different language. And I want you to think about it this way. So if I wanted to drop this on the floor and break it, but if I dropped this on the floor and smashed it, shattered, that's in essence what's happened. And my rock is all scattered all over the place. That also, to me, when this mug is shattered, represents the multiplicity of eyes, that I'm all over the place, man. And I want to reference Judith Blackstone's quote and reframe it. So she calls our the body of Christ, she calls it fundamental consciousness. The work would call it real I. I'm going to change it, and I'm not going to call it real I. I'm not going to call it fundamental consciousness. I'm going to call it the body of Christ, which is what we are, that mountain, that Holy Trinity interacting intact. I believe that's what she's referring to with fundamental consciousness, but I'm going to change it to the body of Christ. So see how this sits with you. The body of Christ is vitally important for healing from trauma because it cannot be injured. It has never been injured.
no matter how severe our traumatic experiences have been, when we realize ourselves as the body of Christ, we know that we have not been irreparably damaged. We can actually feel that who and what we really are, who we have always deep down known that we are, has always been there intact. This fundamental ground of the near side of our subjectivity has been there to witness our shattered, traumatized state without being shattered itself. We are basically whole, and that underlying wholeness cannot be fragmented or diminished. Only our access to our wholeness has been obstructed. To me, that's incredibly powerful. And I'm very, very grateful to be with you, learning the skills to unblock that knowing of that wholeness, to return to the body of Christ, to heal, to actually be able to get back to what's always been intact and not be a damaged, broken human being. And the level of tools that we have to deal with that, such a gift. So the second part here, I want us to try and see if we, as a community, can sort of somatically feel like we're the body of Christ. So on a personal note, man, when I wake up in the morning, I do not feel like that. I do not feel like balanced man. I don't have rays of higher levels of consciousness or higher centers floating around me. I feel like a fragment of that mug if it was broken. Every day I feel like that. And what I want to show you are some things that I do to raise my vibration that I feel like I'm in the body of Christ rather than a broken piece of shrapnel, a broken piece of that mug. And that's what I am. I have to raise my vibration. So for me, the intellectual aspect of the work is awesome. But sometimes that doesn't equate me being close to Christ or me feeling in Christ consciousness. I feel like St. Paul, I know what to do, yet I don't do it. And I can't access it. And what I know from my education is when I'm traumatized and anxious and broken, my amygdala is tweaked and I'm in fight or flight or freeze mode. So when that's actually the case physiologically, I do not have any access to the ray of creation. I don't have any access to non-critical self-observation. My brain is offline. So one of the things that I wanted to, if anyone else struggles with that, non-critical self-observation is a neutralizing force. But often for me, that's not enough of a neutralizing force. It's not. I have to use oxygen as a neutralizing force. And the beautiful thing for me, in Aramaic and many languages, breath translates to spirit. So the other effect of me breathing and calming down is it activates my spiritual identity and I can settle down and then have access to higher levels of consciousness. So some of what I want to show you and what we will do together is sort of like, how do I get Humpty Dumpty back together again? Because I start out as the broken mug. How do I get those pieces back together like Humpty Dumpty and have some sort of a chance to raise my vibration? So we're going to do a couple of things. we're going to do a couple of things for us all to get in our bodies somewhat and out of our heads. And then I'm going to do three different things that represent the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that are experiential and breath related, to see if we can internally activate the Holy Trinity and be the body of Christ. When Bernadette Roberts said, and Peter's quoted this quite a bit the last few weeks, the intersection of God, the union of God and man, is that black line. That can be uncomfortable. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Like, that might be the body of Christ. Instead of me being Christ, which I'm uncomfortable with, and I say Christ consciousness to be more comfortable with it, what if that intersection, we're all there together, and that's the body of Christ, that is we. Man, that feels so much better than me, that we are all doing that together. Okay, so I'd like you to settle down and put both feet on the ground, and we're gonna do a little bit of breathing and a little bit of a body scan and see if we can get the feeling of the Holy Trinity in our own body, okay? So the first thing I'd like you to do with me is take 12 deep breaths together. And we can do that together on three. Very deep, or as deep as you can. One, two, three. Keep on breathing. I'd like you to breathe now like you would as if you were doing centering prayer. And the remainder of our time will be like a guided meditation. So stay here in this chilled position and pretend this is a nice guided meditation. So what I'd like you to do from the centering prayer breath is become aware of your feet. Our feet are the furthest part of our body from our brain. Let's move away from our brain by following our breath to our feet. Follow the rhythm of your breath and feel like you're in the center of your feet. Breathe nice and smoothly. And feel the breath activate your spirit. I want you to become aware of your ankles as if you were in the middle of your ankles. Be aware of being in the middle of both of your ankles. Feel the joy of noticing that. And then now let's move up to our knees. Notice your left knee. Notice your right knee. And feel like your center of awareness is in the middle of your left knee. And then the middle of your right knee. Now let's move to our hips. Notice your right hip and then your left hip. feel your level of awareness as if it's coming from the middle of your left hip. Then the middle of your right hip. Now let's move to our heart. Feel your breath moving into your heart as if your heart is the center of the universe. Feel like you are in the middle of your heart. And then now let's bypass everything and go to our brain. Feel like you're in the middle of your brain. Move your awareness to the center of your brain. And I hope by scanning your body, your mind is quieted somewhat and you're aware of your body. So now, being aware of our body, I want to activate the Holy Trinity. And we're going to start by some more breathing to get us into our body and out of our intellectual center. I'd like you to breathe in for 5 seconds. Hold your breath for 7 seconds. And exhale for 8 seconds. I'm getting a little bit of a groove with that rhythm. Really feel the joy of your breath, which equates to spirit. In for 5, hold for 7, out for 8. Activate your spirit with breathing. And now I want you to do what we call box breathing. In for 5 seconds, hold for 5 seconds, exhale for 5 seconds, and breathe normally for 5 seconds. In for 5 seconds, hold for 5 seconds, exhale for 5 seconds. Now I'd like you to shift to get your breathing back to how you would breathe if you're doing centering prayer. I want you to access your sonship and your daughtership through the Jesus prayer. I cannot tell you how much this prayer has changed my life. And when I wake up in the morning, and I usually wake up scared, I say the Jesus prayer. And do breathing exercises and do everything that I'm teaching you here until I feel whole enough that I feel that Humpty Dumpty has gotten back together again, that my multiplicity of shattered eyes from the coffee mug have come back together. And then I get out of bed. I'd like you to repeat this silently. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Actually, just listen to me do that for a while, and then do it quietly yourself in a second. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mercy in Hebrew is chanan. It means implore. And this is what I do in the mornings. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, please forgive me. I implore you to forgive me for forgetting that I belong in the body of Christ. When you gave your life for our sins, let's make it sin, one sin, singular. The sin of forgetting my sonship, my daughtership. You were teaching me that. And I can't even remember that. I'm going to implore you to forgive me for that mistake. My playing small does not serve the world. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. That's not finger wagging sin. That's an identity crisis, that I've forgotten my identity. And my identity as the body of Christ is how I resurrect myself. That's how I put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So the Jesus prayer, I've done it for years, was really triggery for me. But let's see if we can hear it one more time in the way I've reframed it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, forgive me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've forgotten to go back to the mountain, mate. Please forgive me. And I'd like you to repeat that Jesus prayer a few times silently. I never thought that prayer would change my life, but it has. And then now let's activate the Father. We've activated the Spirit, we've activated the Son and the Daughter. Let's activate the Father. Here I am, Lord. Love me. Here I am, Lord. Love me. It's kind of what we're doing when we do centering prayer, isn't it? Our intention. I'd like to be more intimate with you, please. Love is God. Here I am, Lord. Love me, please. And I'd like you to say that, but say it from your heart, not your head. Here I am, Lord. Love me. Here I am, Lord. Love me, please. Love me, please. Here I am, Lord. Love me, please. Say that kindly and gently and lovingly. The intention to let your Father love you. And now what I'd like all of us to do is feel that. Feel that you're the logo on the Church of Conscious Harmony mug. That might be what you are. That we are all in the body of Christ together. Not a separate rock in the body of Christ. A unity and a union in community. You tell me the Church of Conscious Harmony. isn't the body of Christ. What a beautiful gift. Feel Humpty Dumpty getting back together again. What I'd like you to do is breathe a little deeper on your inhale and a little longer on your exhale. And we're going to conclude our activation into the body of Christ with the best reminder of what that is and how to do it. The best reminder of my identity in the body of Christ. The Lord's Prayer. But we're going to do it slightly differently. I'm going to read the Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer, which to me is incredible, and it might help all of us feel together in the mug, becoming like mug, that we are all together in this body of Christ. O Bertha, Father, Mother of the cosmos, you create all that moves in light. Focus your light within us. Make it useful as the rays of a beacon show the way. Unite our I can to yours so that we walk as kings and queens with every creature. Create in me a divine cooperation from many selves, one voice, one action. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Forgive our hidden past, the secret shames, as we consistently forgive what others hide. Deceived neither by the outer nor the inner, free us to walk your path with joy. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all from age to age. It renews. Amen. Thank you for being in the body of the Christ, in the body of Christ with me. Thank you. Peace. Back to you, Marianne.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a blessing for us. So we go into the night with this prayer on our hearts. Let us also pray the prayer of God's love together, aloud, wherever we are, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace.